RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Welcome to the newsline. Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia's oil production targeted 825,000 barrels by 2017. Vice President says stop terror suspects before they launch another attack. French may become gateway for Indonesia's product to Europe. Now, the news in details. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan admitted that he makes an internal agreement with the Upstream Oil and Gas Special Unit, or SKK Migas, to encourage the production of ready-to-sell oil in 2017 by 825,000 barrels per day, Jonan in a press conference after a visit to PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia Minas Riau Province on Saturday, December 17, said that in the state budget or APBN 2017, oil lifting target average is 815,000 barrels per day. Head of SKK Migas Amin Sunaryadi, who accompanied Jonan, said that the figure of 825,000 barrels is their internal agreement. Although not detailing the efforts made to support the target, Amin Sunaryadi said he would make every effort to achieve it. He added that until now, the achievements of the lifting of oil have reached 821,000 barrels per day, which is above the target. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that terrorism and radicalism are global problems which Indonesia can help solve by identifying and arresting suspected terrorists before they commit their heinous act. Kalla said radical groups have built new networks in Indonesia and law enforcers will have their work cut out to identify and stop them. Kalla said it on Friday that the government has extraordinary law enforcers. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said that the new terrorist networks in Indonesia are similar in structure to Jamaah Islamiyah or GI, which was founded by the infamous cleric Abu Bakar Bashir in Malaysia in the 1980s and which was thought to be behind the 2002 Bali bombs. Tito said when he opened a seminar on counterterrorism in Jakarta last week that Indonesia is facing a new version of Jamaah Islamiyah. He said that biggest terrorist network at the moment is the Jamaah Ashrut Daulah or JAD, led by Aman Abdurrahman. JI had links to Al-Qaeda, whereas JAD is thought to be an extension of the Islamic State. Industry Minister Erlangga Hartanto said that Indonesia is considering turning France into a gateway for its products to non-traditional markets in Europe. He said while receiving French Ambassador to Indonesia Jean-Charles Bertonnet at his office that France has a dynamic industry and is one of the most competitive nations in the world. He explained in a press statement released on Saturday that France is also ranked second, third, and fourth for chemical industries food industries and in the information and telecommunication industries in Europe. The minister added that Indonesia should look into the possibilities of turning France into a gateway for its products to Europe through cooperation in the industrial sector and exchanging information on non-tariff measures as part of efforts to penetrate the market. France is also Indonesia's important partner in terms of trade relations, which contribute to its industrial and economic growth. He stated that the two countries need to enhance economic cooperation to balance their trade and investment. An A1334 NAV-32 Hercules plane operated by the Indonesian Air Force departing from Timika Mimika Regency to Wamena Jayawijaya Regency, Papua on Sunday morning reportedly went down around Mount Lisua in Jayawijaya Regency. Head of Information Division of the Cendrawasih Military Command, Colonel Infantry Teguh PR, confirmed that the plane owned had lost contact at around 8 a.m. local time. Teguh said on Sunday that around 8 a.m. local time, they received information that at around 6 to 9 a.m. the plane lost contact. He added that the plane, which carried 12 passengers, reportedly lost contact in Mount Lisua, Jayawijaya Regency. Teguh explained that the plane reportedly also carried out food and other materials. The plane departed from Timika on Sunday morning at around 5:35 Eastern Indonesian time and was expected to arrive in Wamena at around 6:13 Indonesian time. Latest report said that the search and rescue team, the Indonesian National Defense Forces or TNI, and the police have found the location and are trying to evacuate the passengers of the ill-fated plane. Ministry of Women Empowerment and Child Protection will hold a Mother's Day celebration on December 22, 2016 in Banten Province, which will be attended by President Joko Widodo. Secretary to the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Children Protection, Wahyu Hartomo, on Sunday, December 18, on the sidelines of Journalist Forum for Women and Children in Bogor, West Java, has said that he already asked all participants to review preparation and Banten is ready to host the event. He mentioned that Mother's Day 2016 is themed Gender Equality, adapted from the World Program 50-50 Plan, which means recognizing the equality of women and men in various fields. In addition, President Joko Widodo was also selected as a United Nations ambassador for a review of the Planet 50-50. Wahyu added that the celebration of Mother's Day will be attended by approximately 2,000 participants from various regions in Indonesia. The Indonesian military, or TNI, will not protect corrupt officers and is ready to assist in bringing them in justice. TNI spokesman Major General Wuryanto said in Jakarta on Friday that any member of the military who violates the law will be prosecuted. He added that graft is the country's biggest enemy and the corruption eradication process should not be obstructed. Wuryanto stated that corruption is the common enemy of all Indonesians. On Wednesday, the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, NEP Eko Susilo Hadi, Deputy Head for Legal Affairs and Cooperation at the Maritime Security Agency, or Bakamla, and three other persons who are believed to have briefed him. Eko was handling three procurement projects at Bakamla worth 400 billion rupiah or $29.5 million. KPK is investigating a possible involvement of military officers in the case. Wuryanto explained that to follow up the case, the military police now need to obtain all information from the KPK. The last item, rice procurement by the state-owned Board of Logistics or Bulog in the Regency of Gresik East Java overshoot its target set for this year. Rice procurement of the local farmers already reached 61,400 tons, exceeding the target of 40,000 tons set from the whole year. Bulog Assistant 2 Ahmad Nuruddin said that rice procurement in Gresik is expected to be higher in 2017. Secretary of the Food Security Council Wasti Andari expressed appreciation to Bulog for reaching the target, saying that he would facilitate cooperation agreement between group of farmers in Gresik and CV Hasil Tani Sejahtera as Bulog representative in Gresik in buying rice from local farmers in 2017. Wasti said that the cooperation agreement would guarantee that the rice production of Gresik farmers would be purchased by Bulog at the government-administered price. That was Newsline over Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from Indonesia, which presents a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news comes from Kupang, the capital of East Nusa Tenggara. The Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education will increase the living cost of Help Poor Students Educational Achievement Scholarships. The government, starting 2017, will increase the cost of living for awardees. The Minister of Research and Technology Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, in Nusa Cendana University in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara, on Friday said the increase was considered very important to keep pace with inflation. It aims to motivate the recipients to continue the spirit of learning and improving their GPA. In 2017, the ministry will also increase the quota of scholarships from previous 75,000 to 90,000. However, he admitted not to increase the quota of scholarship for each university. The reason is the increase in the number of new public universities, which also requires a quota of scholarships. The next news comes from Bandung, West Java Provincial Government through the Agency for Research, Development and Application of Science and Technology is currently assisting the preparation for the manufacture of agricultural freight cars for farmers in the village. West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan, after attending the inauguration and the award on colloquium of the agency in West Java Province in 2016 in Bandung on Thursday, said the vehicle is a kind of farm freight cars that look like a minibus or mini trucks. The price is cheap and is devoted to serving and be owned by farmers. The governor said West Java Provincial Government today continues to boost the innovation of science and technology to promote development in the region. He said through the Board of Research, Development and Application of Science and Technology, West Java Provincial Government will continue to strive to bring forth innovations related to food security, such as agriculture, animal husbandry, and technology. According to him, outside food security affairs, West Java Provincial Government is now also supporting the development of robotics conducted by public and private universities in the region. In addition, he said, there are electronic cars that are being worked by the University of Indonesia. He said he was still considering lifting the innovation and make sure the special car will be worked out in the near future. The latest news comes from the capital, Jakarta. TransJakarta will soon create a special standard for buses. PT Jakarta Transportation or TransJakarta plans to create a standard or a special classification for the entire fleet of buses to be ordered and operated in the capital region. President Director of PT TransJakarta, Budi Kaliwono, at City Hall on Wednesday said one of the specific standards is related to the security aspects, namely better cabling system and features an emergency button with power breaker system to increase safety during driving. He said all TransJakarta buses will also be equipped with an emergency button to disconnect the data so that in case of an emergency condition, its effects can be minimized. Furthermore, he expressed these standards are designed considering Jakarta buses are ordered from a variety of different brands and the body of a car, so it takes a similar standard. Well, that was news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1973, the Islamic Development Bank is founded. The Islamic Development Bank, IDB, is a multilateral development financing institution located in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. It was founded in 1973 by the finance ministers at the first organization of the Islamic Conference, now called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, with the support of the King of Saudi Arabia at that time, Faisal, and began its activities on October 20, 1975. There are 56 shareholding member states. The present membership of the bank consists of 56 countries. The basic condition for membership is that the prospective member country should be a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, pay its contribution to the capital of the bank, and be willing to accept such terms and conditions as may be decided upon by the IDB Board of Governors. Major shareholders include Saudi Arabia, Libya, Iran, Egypt, Turkey, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Pakistan, Algeria, and Indonesia. The IDB is an observer at the United Nations General Assembly. Over now to 2006, the first of a series of floods strikes Malaysia. The death toll of all flooding is at least 118, with over 400,000 people displaced. The 2006-2007 Southeast Asian floods were a series of floods that mostly affected Malaysia from December 18, 2006 to January 13, 2007. The floods were caused by above-average rainfall, which was attributed to Typhoon Uthor, which had hit the Philippines and Vietnam a few days earlier. By the third week of January 2007, Johor had been affected by a larger flood. Singapore and certain parts of Indonesia were flooded due to the same typhoon. Throughout the week starting December 18, 2006, a series of floods hit several Malaysian states. Along with Singapore, they experienced abnormally high rainfall, which resulted in massive floods. Weather officials described the flooding as the worst in the area in a century. Last is 1990. International Migrants Day is adopted by the UN General Assembly. The International Migrants Day is an international day observed on December 18th as International Migrants Day, appointed by the General Assembly of United Nations on December 4, 2000, taking into account the large and increasing number of migrants in the world. On December 18, 1990, the General Assembly adopted the International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Spotlights of the Week. The spotlight this time is on Indonesia wins World Halal Tourism Awards 2016. Indonesia won 12 of the 16 categories contested in the World Halal WHTA Tourism Awards 2016, which took place in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates from 24 October to 25 November 2016. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya welcomed the success through a written statement received by Republika Daily on Thursday. In these competitions, Indonesia sends representatives in 12 categories and all of them become champions. Minister of Tourism said, thus, Indonesia became the overall champion with 12 of the 16 categories, and this is something dramatic and extraordinary. He explained, in the first round, which lasted from 24 October to 7 November, Malaysia had seemed to excel in four core categories, which were also competed by Indonesian Lombok, Aceh, and West Sumatra. The Minister of Tourism exerted all networks to help in the voting. Malaysia and Turkey had been known as legends in the world halal tourism, so these two countries had always stood out. However, in the last 2 years, Indonesia took over. Mr. Arif Yahya, while congratulating the winners, also thanked the voters for their participation. He said this is not the end of the journey towards the best halal tourism. In fact, it is just a beginning to build a new ecosystem of halal tourism. Meanwhile, Head of Culture and Tourism of West Nusa Tenggara, Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, said that the world-class awards confirmed the position of Lombok, which is the previous year also won a similar award. This success also proved that the halal branding is fully supported and continued intensified by the West Nusa Tenggara provincial government. He explained that West Nusa Tenggara province systematically continued to develop halal tourism through many supporting factors ranging from the industrial sites, the local government, to the promotion policy. The West Nusa Tenggara success, according to Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, could not be separated from the participation of all elements such as local government and parliament, governments, institutions, agencies, and the public. However, the West Nusa Tenggara provincial government does not necessarily become complacent and will not to disseminate to the public to be more concerned about the region that is now has become a tourist destination of both domestic and foreign tourists. That was Spotlight of the Week. Welcome to the news in brief. Indonesia's oil production targeted 825,000 barrels by 2017. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan admitted that he makes an internal agreement with the Upstream Oil and Gas Special Unit, or SKK Migas, to encourage the production of ready-to-sell oil in 2017 by 825,000 barrels per day. Vice President says top terror suspects before they launch another attack. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said terrorism and radicalism are global problems which Indonesia can help solve by identifying and arresting suspected terrorists before they commit their heinous acts. France may become gateway for Indonesia's product to Europe. Industry Minister Erlangga Hartanto said that Indonesia is considering turning France into a gateway for its products to non-traditional markets in Europe. Hercules plane crashes in Jayawijaya Regency, Papua. An A1334 Nave 32 Hercules plane operated by the Indonesian Air Force departing from Timika, Mimika Regency to Wamena, Jayawijaya Regency, Papua on Sunday morning reportedly went down around Mount Lisua in Jayawijaya Regency. Gender equality becomes the theme of the Mother Days. Ministry of Women Empowerment and Child Protection will hold a Mother's Day celebration on December 22, 2016 in Banten Province, which will be attended by President Joko Widodo. The Indonesian military will not protect corrupt officers. The Indonesian military, or TNI, will not protect corrupt officers and is ready to assist in bringing them to justice. Bulk rice procurement from Gresik farmers overshoot target. Rice procurement by the state-owned Board of Logistics or Bulog in the Regency of Gresik East Java overshoot its target set for this year. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special segment introducing Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today, we will take you to Jember, East Java Province, for a trip to Payangan Beach. So stay tuned at RRI Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. As an archipelago, Indonesia is endowed with many wonderful beaches. One of them is Payangan Beach in Jember, East Java Province. Located in Ambulu District, Payangan Beach is quite unique because there are three hills and an island that make the scenery at the beach more beautiful and lovely. Like most other beaches, the majority of the population around Payangan coast are fishermen. On this beach, you cannot only enjoy the beach by playing in the water, but also observe various activities of the fishermen, such as mending fishing nets or doing boat repair. Here, you can also watch closely the process of making the popular traditional shrimp paste. On the right side of Payangan Beach, there is Fast Savannah. This area can be used to set up a tent for those who would like to spend the night on the beach. If you come to Payangan Beach in Suram month, according to the Javanese calendar, or the month of Muharram according to Islamic calendar, you will see the fishermen conducting a special ceremony called Petik Laut or Sea Pick, which will usually be followed by a leather puppet show. To get to Payangan Beach, you can go through the route from the town of Jember following the direction to Ambulu. When you reach the intersection, go to the south and follow the direction to Watu Ulo. From here, you just follow the road up to the beach. Once you arrive there, you will be surprised by the presence of three different sides of the beach. In the north, it has a curved shoreline of black sand. In the middle, the beach is decorated with beautiful rocks. And in the south side, you can see the outspread savanna and park fishing boats lining up neatly. If you want to travel to Payangan Beach, you don't need to worry about facilities because the spot has been provided with toilets, motorcycle and car parks, a camping area located on the south side of the savanna, and also stalls belonging to local people that provide food and beverages, also souvenirs. Payangan Beach can be reached by private vehicles like motorcycles or cars. Or you can also use taxi because there is no public transport serving the route to Payangan. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Payangan Beach in Jember, East Java. Tomorrow we will meet you again with another interesting topic. See you then!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in our regular program Miscellany. Today we are going to talk about Indonesian children's traditional games festival. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. listener, the rapid development of computer technology and gadget has a positive impact, at the same time a negative impact on society. Addiction to gadgets made Indonesian children lose their time to play traditional games, especially children in big cities. According to Asia Parents data, 99% of children spend time with a gadget at home, 71% of children are busy with the gadgets when traveling, 70% in restaurants, 40% at a friend's home, and 17% of children are busy with the gadget during break at school. If this is allowed, children will be less sociable, so they will become insensitive to the surrounding environment. The traditional game has many benefits, such as developing intellectual, emotional intelligence, creativity, social skills, and motor skills of children. The traditional game is one alternative fulfillment of children's rights. Therefore, the Ministry of Women Empowerment and Children Protection, or KPPA, held Indonesian Children's Traditional Games Festival in Bhinneka Tunggal Ika Park, Taman Mini, Indonesia Indah. The activity, which was held on December 11, 2016, contained exhibitions, performances, traditional games, and competitions from various regions in Indonesia. Of 154 traditional games that have been identified, as many as 78 of which are showcased in this festival. A total of 2,000 children from various regions to follow this festival as an expression of the diversity of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesian Children's Traditional Games Festival gives an experience of traditional games to children, teachers, parents, and community through exhibitions, performances, and competitions. Indonesian traditional games are very rich in the use of objects, functional, symbolic, and mostly done outdoors. The traditional games are done outside, among others are run a relay coconut shells, bentengan, clocks run, and stilts. Moreover, there are other traditional games such as Bantik from Central Java, Landar Lundur from Jakarta, Basimbang from Riau Island, Balogo from South Kalimantan, and Akbombo Bombo from South Sulawesi. This activity is expected to raise awareness of children, teachers, parents, and the public to understand that the traditional games is a good method for child development while preserving local cultural wisdom. Listener, Minister of Women Empowerment and Children Protection, Yohana Susana Yembisek, welcomed the organization of the festival. According to Yohana, traditional games are considered to have high philosophical value and prompting interaction with friends. The minister added that reproduce arcades in the area would be to have a positive impact rather than just relying on technological advances. The event is expected to be held annually to provide space for Indonesian children to spend their time with positive activities. According to Yohana, this festival is a realization of the implementation of the fulfillment of children on the use of free time. Creativity and culture is one of the basic rights of children under the Convention of the Rights of the Children, or CRC, which was ratified by Presidential Decree No. 36 of 1990. She added that the event is one form of provision of infrastructure and facilities for children to play traditional games. Meanwhile, head of East Jakarta Sub-Department of Education Region 2, Ungkadi, said that the Indonesian Children's Traditional Games Festival 2016 is an event that is very attractive for development of the child. Therefore, children will become more aware of the richness of cultures in Indonesia. According to Ungkadi, these events can also preserve the original game Indonesia that is forgotten with the times. He said today's children prefer to play alone with a variety of games on gadgets rather than playing in a group. listener, that was Miscellany for today featuring Indonesian Children's Traditional Games Festival. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by W. Anwar in Bangladesh. Mr. W. Anwar in Bangladesh sent his email through Voice of Indonesia's Facebook fan page. Hello, Mr. W. Anwar. Thank you for attention and appreciation on our broadcast. And for your information, you can see or print our language service and transmission schedule on VOI website, www.voi.co.id. Voice of Indonesia broadcast in 7 foreign languages, namely Mandarin, Spanish, French, Japanese, German, Arabic, English, and Indonesian. And if you miss your favorite segment of our program, you can listen to the audio on demand. Well, Mr. W. Anwar, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception reports on our broadcast. And special for you and our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Temukan apa arti di balik cerita. Hati ini terasa berbunga-bunga. Terbuai asmara, adakah satu arti di balik tatapan? Tersipu malu akan sebuah senyuman, membuat suasana menjadi nyata.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Pablo Lopez. Pablo Lopez sent his email on our broadcast dated December 10, 2016. Hello, Mr. Pablo Lopez. Thank you for your compliment. Our Spanish section will send you our QSL card to your home. Please be patient to wait for it, okay? Thank you. Well, Mr. Pablo Lopez, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception reports on our broadcast. For you, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Sa penuh rasa, aku menginginkanmu. Aku di sini untuk memilikimu. Katakan bila itu bukan maumu, kan aku kini tak dapat berpindah ke hati yang lain. Getaran jiwa mengungkapkan maksudnya.
Thank you.
You are listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Patrick Travers in England. We received his email dated November 13, 2016. He listened to our broadcast on November the 2nd through 2016 through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1900 hours to 1945 hours UTC. And the SINPO was 34433. Hello, Mr. Patrick Travers. How are you? Thank you for monitoring and also sending reception report of our broadcast. Your reception report is very detailed. As our appreciation, my friend, we'll send you our QSL card to your recent address, which is listed on your email. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Patrick Travers, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception reports on our broadcast. Thank you very much. And for you, listeners, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song just for you.
Seperti warna pelangi, bersinar dari kedua belah matamu. Oh, bagaikan cahaya mentari, kau hangatkan duniaku, kau untukku.
Listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. While listening to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Mataku terus tertuju padamu saat kulihat dirimu tersenyum. Ingin aku menyapa, namun ku terdiam, tak kulakukan. Mungkinkah kau pun juga begitu? Ku tahu kau masih malu. Ingin ku sapa, namun ku terdiam, tak ku lakukan. Oh, apakah kau rasakan getaranku pada dirimu? Oh, ku hanya duduk terdiam, menunggu untuk tahu namamu.
Oh, oh.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
dan semua maksudmu. Tak usah kau menahan rasa, aku di sini pun tak mampu. Tak usah ragu untuk melangkah dekatiku. Ku ingin kamu, yeah, yeah. Aura malam ini tercipta untuk kita berbagi cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.